The Depores Pages Homilies. These homilies are a production of the Depores Pages. You can find all our podcasts at thefriar.org. The Friar, FRIAR.org. You can go to our website, or you can subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Every first Sunday of Lent, we start with the Transfiguration. I don't know if you're like me, but for a long time, I didn't really think much about it. But there is so much packed in this experience that it bears for us to pay careful attention to many things that we read. Why the Transfiguration? Why is this such an important moment for the disciples, as well as Jesus perhaps, but more importantly for the disciples? Why does it matter? Well, the first is that they're going to experience something about God that reassures them that Jesus himself is God. Because the Father says at the end of the Transfiguration experience, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And they're going to need this very much, because it was not in the thinking of the Jewish people of the day that the Messiah would suffer a humiliating public execution. They were going to need some experience above and beyond all the miracles that they had seen and would witness after this. They were going to need something very powerful to assure them that Jesus was the Christ, that they hadn't misplaced it. They even had moments where, after the death of Jesus, but before they encountered him as the risen Christ, that they seemed to despair. They hid, they were afraid, they locked the doors. And while there are many other things that are mentioned here that I think are important, I'd like to focus on the significance of the Transfiguration for us. Much of what we encounter here certainly could be seen as important for the disciples. For Peter, for James, for John, and for, John's brother. Peter, James, and John his brother, just the three of them. Okay, take that back. I've lost an hour of sleep. I'm not operating at full strength, okay? What does it mean for us? Well, first of all, the very same thing needs to be in our hearts and minds. Jesus is the divine Son of God. He's not just a good example of human living. He's not just a good guy that walked around doing a few good things. He's the divine Son of God. That is the miraculous moment for us to grasp and to bring into our being. I don't think there's another world religion that makes the claim that their God came to earth in human form, but was really God. And Lent is going to continue to focus our attention on this journey to Jerusalem, which we know is not going to end well for Jesus. More importantly, this glorified moment is a reminder to you and me that life right now, as we experience it, is not free of suffering. The resurrection of Jesus provides us the hope of eternal life and the promise of eternal life, but we know that right now there are all kinds of reasons why we might doubt the power of this resurrection and the power of this new life. We don't need to look very far to see all kinds of examples of how sinfulness has really changed our world and what it's meant for us. But this story of the Transfiguration reminds us that the Lord Jesus, God the Father, they've not given up on us. They've not said to us, too bad for you. Not once, not twice, at least when I look at my own life, but repeatedly, you don't get the message and you sin. But repeatedly, every time you go to confession, I forgive the sin. I redeem you. And so it's important for us to recognize that this promise of Jesus is made so clearly before us. So last week, we recognized that Jesus was tempted in order to help us to know how to deal with the temptations in our life, in order to help us to understand how God was going to be able to make us overcome them, and how merciful Jesus is. We never needed the despair of his mercy when we fell, when we were tempted. This week is the proof that Jesus is close to the Father. That it's Father and Son. Heaven and earth touch at this moment as they hear the divine and eternal life that is given to us by God, who is completely alive, completely free from sin. What else is in it for us in terms of a message? The foundation of this message of Jesus needs two witnesses in order to make it valid according to the law in the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, everything you needed two witnesses. Every legal document, every legal thing, you needed two witnesses. So who witnesses to the truth and the power of Jesus? The law and the prophets. Moses and Elijah. Everything we read in the law and the prophets is ultimately preparing us for the truth that is Jesus. He tells us he is the truth. And so this experience of the Transfiguration helps us to understand that not only does Jesus mean what he says, but what he says is trustworthy because it stands on the predictions and the prophecies and the important way of life that is articulated through the law and the prophets. What about us? Do we see, do we even make time to try to understand perhaps a little more fully the scriptures? Do we try to find in our own lives the foundation of the law and the prophets so that when we encounter Jesus in our personal lives, we have some idea that we're encountering something that was promised and foretold for centuries? Do we see in our sufferings kind of that necessary experience because of our sin and the sin of others? We live in a world that's just riddled with sin. Do we see in that experience that when we suffer, we shouldn't lose hope, we shouldn't despair, because Jesus is going to take that suffering and make something wonderful of it? Maybe not in a way we even realize or recognize, but because God brings good things from evil things, which is the message of the cross, he can do so in our lives. And we get a very important command for this season of Lent. What does God the Father tell us to do? For the second time, the first being his baptism, he tells us, listen to Jesus. Now, if we're going to listen to Jesus, we're going to listen to Jesus because we have a relationship with him. We make time for him. We find some silence. We find some ways in which we can hear the word of God and we can get to know Jesus and we can do something wonderful and powerful because of that relationship. I don't know about you, but my mind is filled constantly with clutter. The activities of my day are just cluttered. They're not always guided, directed with the purpose of getting closer to God and loving neighbor more fully and completely. I don't know about you, but sometimes other things in my life, clutter, take up too much time. I don't play it much anymore, but I've replaced it with other games, so this isn't a statement of great pride, but you know, Words with Friends used to take up too much time. It's a great game, I love it, but I was wasting a lot of time, so I stopped playing it, only to discover that there were other games that were equally as fun, so I'm still working on it. Our lives can be filled with that too. And we can worry about so many things we need not worry about because Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we learn during this powerful season of Lent. That is the point and the purpose of this season. To help us to come to know Jesus better so that we can love him more fully and to recognize his presence not only in those we like, but in every human being, because they are made in the image and likeness of God. Get to know Jesus, love God, love neighbor.